Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long.
Hey, welcome to Things I Learned Last Night. This is a comedy podcast where we talk about tragic events. We really make fun of it the whole time. No, this is Tim teaches me something new every week, but this week is a tragic event. This week we learn about the Tylenol murders in Chicago. When it's very famous, somebody replaced capsules in the Tylenol with cyanide, and that's a
crazy thing to do.
So, and then the theories of who did it and what the result has been from the FBI's investigation. So we get into the big story, and also like everything you buy is sealed now, obviously.
Thanks
so,
to this guy.
Yeah, whoever or was. Gal. That's pretty sexist.
Let's be honest.
Speaking of sexism, I'm just kidding. So, I am in Oklahoma City this weekend on the 21st. I'm in Yukon, Oklahoma. Yeah. And then next week, I am in Canada. I have my passport and everything. I'm going to Alberta.
Happy for you.
And like not the big towns. I'm going to some pretty small towns in Alberta. I am in Brooks, Alberta, and then Tabor, Alberta next week on the 24th and 25th. So if you're in Canada, what else are you doing? You know, so come hang out. We'll see you there. But we're going to get serious.
Yeah. No more fun.
No jokes for this episode.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of Tylenol?
Tylenol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I pop like 6 of those a day.
What?
Probably 8.
I think that's over the limit.
I do 4 Celsius and 12 Tylenol.
I have to do, for each Celsius, I have to do 2 Tylenol to counteract the Celsius.
I did have to tell my wife to quit taking Tylenol every day.
She takes it every day?
Well, she was for a little while.
Yeah, that's like bad for your liver, isn't it?
Oh, I was like, hey, you know your body like builds a tolerance and then now that's not helping you at all.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it also literally kills your liver.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about...
We're young. We're going to live forever.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll never die.
I used to crush up Tylenol and... That's what I use for flavoring on my tacos.
Yeah, get some pizza.
Yeah, dude. I'm like out to eat.
You guys got any Tylenol in this joint? yeah, I think I got some of my purse. Oh, thanks. Could you bring me some of those? Yeah, this guy at table 7 just sprinkled Tylenol over his steak.
Dude, that guy has had a rough week.
That is insane behavior.
If you're crushing up Tylenol
for anything,
people
for
put any it reason. In orange juice.
That's no, like, they don't.
That's like a a cure, like your Tim Stones Get Well Quick trick, where you're like, just let me drink a gallon of orange juice. If you crush up some Tylenol or whatever, put it in there.
Jeez,
that's what some people do. Or what's the powder Tylenol? Like it starts with a B. I don't know. Pretty crazy.
B12.
Yeah. So much B12, dude.
Yeah. You just got a B12 in this joint.
Everyone, trash your Tylenol. It's going to kill you. Switch to Benadryl, but not too many. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll see him.
See who?
They're gonna see the hat man. The whole conversation's on the blower. Things I learned last night.
So we are talking about Tylenol, but not really. I mean, we're referencing Tylenol. It's
okay.
Tylenol adjacent this episode. Have you heard of the Chicago Tylenol murders?
Oh. No more jokes.
You can't be funny anymore. All right. Let's just dive right in. This one's a good one.
Okay.
This is a wild story. A sad story. Wild story, though. And we're going to make fun of it. this is 1982. October 1982.
Okay.
We need to be serious about this. This is a serious
This is the serious part.
Be funny.
Yeah. Give me like a little cue when you're like, hey.
No more funny.
Don't do this, though. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think this is not appropriate for a murder episode.
We're about to talk about death.
Yeah. We're about to talk about death.
It's September 28th.
Breaking news. Three bodies were found in an apartment complex in Kansas City, Missouri, with a note that says, "Chicken and pickle was fun tonight."
Whoa. What happened there? September 28th, 1982. Mary Kellerman, she's a 12-year-old girl, wakes up feeling not great, asks her parents and says, "Hey, I don't feel good. Can I stay home from school?"
Oh, this is the people putting stuff in Tylenol. Got it. Okay.
She tells her parents, "Hey, I'm not feeling great. I don't think I should go to school." Her dad's like, "You're going to go to school. Here, take some Tylenol." And so she takes a Tylenol.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, he hears the bathroom door slam shut. And so he goes to check on her and like, she's not responding. And so he opens up the door and finds her dead in the bathroom.
Okay.
So they obviously call 911. Paramedics show up. They try to resuscitate, bring her to the hospital. She ends up dying the next day. No clue what happened. They're like investigating the house, investigating maybe there's something she ate. Maybe she had like sudden cardiac arrest. They do an autopsy and they're like, there's no real like evidence of like what could have happened here.
Right.
You know? And so they're kind of scratching their heads at this situation. That next day, September 29th, they're actively investigating this. This is in a suburb of Chicago, by the way. there is a guy by the name of Adam Janis, whose family calls 911. He had very similar scenario. He just collapsed in his living room.
Okay.
Pick him up. They try to resuscitate, pick him up, take him to the hospital. He dies that night at the hospital. The family, obviously, terrible scenario.
Right.
They go home. This is really sad. They go home. And they're like trying to like gather themselves and figure out what happened and where to go from here, you know? And in the stress of it, Stanley, his younger brother, is 25. Stanley's younger brother is like, "Man, I got a headache." And so he grabs a Tylenol and takes a Tylenol, and his younger sister is like, "Yeah, me too." And so she grabs a Tylenol as well. And a few minutes later, he falls to the ground and starts convulsing. And then they call 911. The paramedics show up and the paramedics are like actively resuscitating him. And then she falls to the ground and starts convulsing. And so the paramedics like split up and there's four paramedics with Stanley, four paramedics with Teresa, and they ended up both passing away as well. And they, this was the moment where they were like, okay, this is strange. And so they have a local detective starts trying to like really figure out
right
what is the connection between these four. What did all three of these people consume?
Like, right.
So they had to consume something. And they ended up being able to figure out it was the Tylenol. And it's interesting. We can touch on that later. They end up figuring out that it's the Tylenol. And later that day, throughout the course of that same day, there was three other people, a Mary McFarlane, a Paula Prince, and a Mary Reiner, who were 31, 35, and 27.
Okay.
Who, same thing. They had same symptoms, fell to the ground, convulsing, showed up to the hospital and died at the hospital. And so the detectives are scrambling, trying to figure this out. Luckily, because of the Janises, they were able to realize it was the Tylenol. So they put out this like public alert.
Yeah, don't take Tylenol.
Be like, nobody take Tylenol. And they're actually driving around town. They send police officers around the suburbs, like through neighborhoods with bullhorns. And they're like, throw away your Tylenol.
really?
An insane thing to like just hear. And I don't know.
Well, you don't hear that. You hear.
Like, what is happening out there? Is the ice cream man outside?
You have to throw your Tylenol away. It's gonna kill your family. Hey, stop. No jokes.
The cop's like,
stop it. No
the
jokes.
The driver's like, bro, this is a serious thing. What are you doing? Like, stop.
And he's singing.
He's singing it. It's a cop car.
Everyone, trash your Tylenol. It's gonna kill you. Switch to Benadryl, but not too many. Otherwise, you'll see him.
See who?
That man.
See who?
Is this year the driver?
Who are they gonna see?
They're gonna see the hat man. The whole conversation is on the blower. They don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah. Someone's walking their dog, just listen to this whole thing, just like, what is happening?
Throw away your Tylenol. So anyway,
yeah, just tell them to throw it away. So yeah, they're driving around town telling everyone to throw away the Tylenol. This is the news, and obviously, like, people are freaking out.
Sure.
They're like Tylenol is killing everybody. And I think
how's Tylenol the brand dealing with it?
So this is interesting. So well, here
they come out like, no, we're not. Keep taking it.
Take more Tylenol. We've got.
It only fixes two more.
Yeah, the only thing that stops it, like, we have another thing called Tylenol killer, and you have to take the Tylenol killer, and it makes Tylenol not kill you instead of who kills the Tylenol. You know, it's a marketing ploy. It's good business. Brought to you by Tylenol. This hits the news, and obviously people are freaking out about it. They're able to find that there was a specific lot number. Lot number MC2880 was the one that all of them had taken. And they were like, okay, so we're going to go on the news and be like, hey, if you have lot number MC2880, throw it away. Don't take it. Don't touch it. There's something wrong with it.
Why would you throw it away? I would want to collect it, right?
I mean, I think they've got enough samples now. That's an interesting point. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're like, get rid of it. Give it to us. I don't know.
It's in the trash.
Yeah. Someone, what do you think? Someone's going to dig through your trash and eat your Tylenol?
Yeah.
So this hits the news, and the news is like, okay, if you got this lot number, throw your, get rid of your supply.
Sure.
I don't know I don't know if they're throwing it away. I don't know if there's a drop bucket at the library that they're supposed to take it to. I don't know what the plan is, but they're like, get rid of it.
Put it in the library book return.
Mom, there's some Tylenol in my books.
They don't even tell the librarians. Okay.
There's a lot of people are giving us a lot of Tylenol today. Oh, they know. There's one place that causes headaches. It's the library.
Yeah.
It's so loud in here. So they're telling everyone to get rid of their Tylenol. And meanwhile, they send the Tylenol they took from the people who were killed.
Yeah. Off to the lab.
Off to the lab to get inspected to figure out what it is. What they end up finding is that a handful of the pills, not all of them, but a handful of the pills in these bottles were, this was back when, and you still can get this from like prescriptions, but you can't get this over the counter anymore. The actual capsules where it's like, you could open them up. And so you open it up, the powder in them wasn't Tylenol, it was cyanide. So someone opened this up and replaced it with cyanide, closed them back up, and put them back on the shelves what was happening. So, like you said, Tylenol is Johnson & Johnson is the company that owns Tylenol.
Right.
And they've been in business forever. They're just like, they're the leader of painkillers at this point in time. Still are?
Yeah.
Right? Tylenol, how do you say the generic name of Tylenol?
Ibuprofen?
No.
Oh, acetaminophen?
Yeah.
All right. Jennifer Coolidge. What was that? Hey, thanks for being part of this episode. If you want to help us do more of this, you want to help us grow our show, one of the easiest and best ways to do that is to join our Patreon. It's a way for you financially to support the show, and you get a lot in return. You get access to our Discord channel. You get bonus content that comes out. You get exclusive merchandise and like live Zoom hangouts where we're both just hanging out, eating pizza, just getting to know each other. The biggest thing is we want to know you more as an individual and as a friend. So thanks for supporting our show. if you don't support us financially, we're not pressed about it. We're not like mad, but I'll find you. So text Tillin to 66866 to keep yourself from being found. All right. Because if you don't, I will hunt you down.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So I always, I heard someone say it like that.
Acetaminophen?
Yeah, like probably, I don't know, a few years ago. But my whole life.
That's wrong.
Yeah. My whole
What'd
life.
What'd you call it? Acetaminophen?
I'm sticking by this. I think this is correct. Okay. Acetaminophen.
Okay.
It's better. That's a better way
That's
to say that.
That's how the British say it.
Acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen.
What do you say?
Acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen. Yep. I don't like that. Acetaminophen. Acetaminophen.
All right.
Anyways, so acetaminophen, Tylenol, owned by Johnson & Johnson. Their response is to this day, like something that's discussed in like PR courses, because it's like they did a really good job with it.
Sure.
They came out and they said it was Procter & Gamble. They're like, those guys did it.
Did they really?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay. Not us. It was them. P&G.
No, they came out and they were like, guys, this is really bad.
We're gonna get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, they came out and they're like, "Yeah, throw away all your stuff. Throw away your Tylenol.
No refunds, but we're gonna find
we're
out.
We're not gonna
what
refund, but you should not have any of it.
Throw it away and go buy a different bottle of
go
Tylenol.
Go buy more Tylenol. No, what was interesting is the police said that was just that lot number.
Sure.
After a couple of weeks, they discovered a couple other contaminated lot numbers. And so as that kind of came out, Tylenol.
Yeah, but at that time, it's kind of like, I don't care what the lot number is. I'm not taking this.
Oh, for sure. And that was kind of the public opinion. Like people weren't checking the lot number.
Just the lot number? Yeah, no, I'm not taking this.
And this and it became such a big deal because the poison hotlines, they said they were ringing off the hook. They're like, we're getting a call every 5 seconds of people being like, I took Tylenol like 2 weeks ago. Am I okay? But it was like...
It's like cyanide doesn't have a four-week
release. No, yeah, it's immediate. It was, especially at the dosage that was in there, it was like an immediate thing that was happening. And there's nothing
to stop it either.
Yeah, and there was people all over the country that were calling these poison hotlines, but this event happened only in Chicago. It was like it was like one store in Chicago that got the contamination. But when they started realizing there was other lot numbers... Tylenol's response was, we're recalling all Tylenol. And so they went to every store and they said, throw it away.
Yep.
Throw it in the trash. We're taking it all back and we're not going to sell Tylenol anymore for a little bit while we figure this out. We're halting production. If you got any, get rid of it. Don't take it. This is like we have a serious...
Yeah.
We care, you know?
Wow. I mean, they don't care. But at least it was a response from a company that was not like,
it's probably fine.
That happens. It's like Blue Bell ice cream when they were like, all right, we're gonna be done making ice cream for a couple of years.
What are you talking about?
When Blue Bell, do you know what Blue Bell is?
I know what Blue Bell is.
Yeah, but they quit making ice cream for a couple of years. Maybe not a couple of years. Blue Bell, look it up. Just Google Blue Bell discontinued. I don't know. They came back in like 2017, 2018. It was a big deal.
Is it Blue Bell or Blue Bunny?
Blue Bell.
Because when I searched Blue Bell Ice Cream Discontinued, it redirected to
Blue Bell Ice Cream Salmonella.
All right, let's try that. Because Discontinued did not give me anything. They got ordered to pay $17 million and two misdemeanor counts of distributing adulterated ice cream products. That's a misdemeanor,
I guess. What is it? Oh. Distributed.
Yeah, I got a misdemeanor on my record. Yeah.
Well, they do? But there was like a they just quit making it for a while.
I can't find any evidence.
And then I remember them coming back. Well, I mean, yeah, it was after the misdemeanor. And so it was after this whole lawsuit stuff.
Interesting.
And then it was like
we're not doing it anymore.
I just remember it being because Bluebell's a Midwest company.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's not available everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I remember it being a big thing when it came back. I was like, guys, they're making ice cream again.
Bluebell's back. It's kind of like when Hostess went out.
Yeah.
And then whoever bought Hostess was like, we're back. And the Twinkies were not the same.
And everyone was like, yeah.
Yeah, you probably Twinkies, should.
You've had a Twinkie?
Of course I've had a Twinkie.
Like when? Recently?
I don't know how to find
last time
recently.
You ate a Twinkie?
It's been years, probably 4 or 5 years. It's been a while. Probably Springfield.
I think the only time I've eaten a Twinkie is like for a youth group game.
The only time.
The only time.
The only time in your life.
And I say that as a person who was fat.
Twinkies were so good. Like in the prime. Like 90s Twinkies.
I don't even think
90s
so.
Twinkies were... Oh, man.
Yeah. No, I liked the chocolate cream-filled things from Hostess.
Ho-Hos?
Yes. I loved Ho-Hos.
Or I think they're Ho-Os, actually.
I called them Ho-Hos. I don't know.
Ding-dongs.
Whatever the... Ding-dongs? Maybe that's what I liked.
Were really good. Yeah.
I like zebra cakes. The chocolate cupcake thing with a little swirly thing on top.
Yeah, that's a
with
ho-ho.
The cream filled in the middle.
That's a ho-ho.
That's a ho-ho for sure. Anyway, I liked those. But I never had to... Like, Twinkies never caught on in the Myers household. Anyway...
That's pretty wild to me.
So they made the correct call as a company.
They discontinued all of it and they stopped producing it for a while.
Which is not what a company would do these days, I don't believe.
Yeah,
and they did we got rid of that lot number.
They did an internal investigation to make sure that it wasn't happening in their lab. They also invited the FBI to do their own third-party investigation. And they confirmed that it wasn't happening because that was one of the theories was like, oh, it's a disgruntled employee or somebody at the company who's like, yeah, we don't like Tylenol anymore. and so they were able to confirm that that wasn't the case. They ended up years later, I shouldn't say years later, months later, reproducing Tylenol, and they actually changed arguably the world.
to the tablets instead of the capsules?
Well, yeah. So they did a couple things. They changed it from capsules to caplets. So they were now the gel capsules that you can't open.
They're right.
Like gel casings, and tablets came shortly after that. But they also... started doing the
seals
packaging. So this, their triple sealed packaging is what they call it. So they had the inner foil seal, they had an outer safety seal on the top of the cap, and then they put it in a glued box.
Because before it was just on the shelf.
Yeah, and it was just the cap.
Someone could just unscrew it, put that in there.
The stuff in. They also added the cotton balls. And so they said if the cotton ball, the foil, the outer safety seal, or the box is tampered with, then any of those, then don't consume it. And so it was really four layers of protection.
That all it took was a couple people to die. And then they were like, let's make massive changes to this.
Let's change this altogether.
There are other industries who would go,
it's probably their fault.
It's my Second Amendment right to take Tylenol.
It's my Second Amendment right. So they launched this massive campaign that they paid for. Like ad campaign being like, well, before they launched these seals, they launched a massive campaign that was said, don't take Tylenol, and they paid for it. And then after they launched the seals, they launched this massive campaign of like, here's the new seals and here's how you open them.
Got it.
And how you're safe with them. A couple years after this, the FDA actually passed a law.
So that they all have to do that.
Everyone's got to do these safety seals, whether it was anything consumable. And so that's the reason why milk has that like pop cap on it and everything you use has a seal now. And this is the event that caused that. The FDA followed Tylenol's lead on it.
Wild. Sweeping change can happen.
So let's talk about the suspects. This is the interesting part.
Okay.
Well, we've covered that stuff.
Procter and Gamble.
Procter and Gamble. They actually said
just Procter.
Procter said, "How can we make this cost more?" And they did this. No, so there's a guy by the name of James.
How much did that affect the price of Tylenol?
I mean, I'm sure it went up a little bit because the cost more to produce it. Yeah, so I'm sure it did. I don't know exactly how much it did, but I'm sure it did. I mean, Tylenol's still pretty cheap, so it's not like it was that big of a deal. So a few weeks after this happened, Johnson & Johnson received a letter in the mail. And here, let me pull up this letter, actually.
From a person who's like, "I did it."
It was me.
They received an advanced copy of a book. Hey, would write you the foreword to my book called "If I Did It"?
If it were me. Johnson & Johnson gets this letter in the mail.
Yeah.
And the letter was like your typical ransom note. And it said, "Hey, you I guys... did it. It said, hey, it's really easy to replace cyanide with acetaminophen in your capsules."
Sure, acetaminophen.
And he says, "I can do it again unless you give me $1 million. Here's the bank account I want you to wire it to."
But they made it harder.
Well, this was only a couple weeks later. This is before all the changes happened. Okay. And this is still early enough in the investigation. This is before they like recalled all the Tylenol. Like, this is early in the process, right? And so they get the letter and he's like, "Oh, also don't tell the FBI. Just wire me this money. And if you tell the FBI any funny business, if you don't wire me the money within 48 hours, then I'm going to deliver some more." And Johnson & Johnson sees this and they said, "Hey, FBI."
Yeah, of course. Good. So good on them.
They were like, "We can just send them $1 million.
You know, there's got to be somebody in the office who's like, just pay them."
Well, that's what Johnson & Johnson calls the FBI and they said, "Hey, he just wants $1 million. They're like,
"It's nothing
to us. Who cares? We'll send him $1 million.
That's like a dollar."
Yeah. They were like, "We couldn't care less about $1 million. And so like, we'll send it to him." And the FBI said,
"Imagine being the low paid FBI employee." "Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's nothing to you. Yeah,
you just pay $1 million?
Yeah. Here, let me give you a different account to send that to. Actually, we think it's this guy."
"This guy."
"I've got a different number for you to send that to." And so they,
the FBI is like, no. "Well, sure, but he's got to meet us in a field and we'll helicopter down and give him the cash."
"We're going to give him the cash in person." So they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at that note and I bet we can figure some stuff out."
Sure.
FBI in it.
"I bet we can figure some stuff out."
And so they take that note. They discover that it's a note from a specific New York stationery company.
Okay.
And both the letterhead that the note was on and the ink that was used was from this stationery company, which is really very interesting. They also found fingerprints that they matched to a guy by the name of James William Lewis. And so they found Lewis and they took him in on suspicion.
So do we use people's middle names when they commit crimes? Like, if I committed a crime, would I be just known as Jaron Kyler Myers?
Yeah, it's if you've done something bad. It's the bad person.
James effect. William Lewis.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly
he's
what
not
it
going
is.
By that, right?
I doubt he's going by that.
Yeah.
I doubt he's going by James. Yeah. Yeah. But that's an interesting point.
Timothy James. Did I mess it up?
Wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
I always mix you and your dad up.
Yeah, me too.
Timothy John Stone?
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like it, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Speaking of future episodes, we have a ton of past episodes. We have a back catalog of well over 100 episodes. So check those out. My current favorite is Nellie Bly. She was a journalist from the early 1900s who totally changed the industry, especially for women in the industry. Super cool story, but also kind of crazy, some of the things that she did. We had a lot of fun in that episode. So check that out. Don't forget to subscribe. But ultimately, just thanks for being here. So they get James, they pull him in and in for questioning.
Yeah.
And they ask him all these questions. They search his house. In his house, they find a little chemical lab. And yeah. They find the Anarchist Cookbook, which, have you heard of that?
No.
It's a pretty popular book about making poison.
Oh. fun.
A little
it's available
sketchy.
At our store.
It's a little
digital download.
That's allowed. But that's what's out there. It's your Second Amendment right.
It's your Second Amendment right to make poison.
It's technically in arms, right?
You could probably get through that in court.
You probably could. So he has the Anarchist Cookbook. They fingerprint the cookbook and they did find his fingerprints on the page for cyanide.
Okay.
And so there's some circumstantial evidence that's interesting. He's
like, I didn't do any of this.
They take him in for questioning. And at first he's like, yes, it was me. And then he's like telling them all about how to make cyanide and stuff like that.
Hold on, wait, actually.
And they take him through the process. They realize they can't link anything to him and they continue their investigation. Long story short.
They can't link anything to him? You're telling me he's sitting here going, yeah, I did that.
Like, yeah, that was me.
And they were like, I got the fingerprints in the letter. We got this in your house. We got a lab. You're telling us you did with cyanide. You're telling us how you did it. We got to let him go.
But we don't know for sure if it was
him. Is this real?
Well, here's the deal. They had a weird feeling about him. They're like,
telling me we can execute people that were like, we find out years later they didn't do it. But in the 80s, they're like, this is still the 80s.
Yeah, so they
could execute this guy on the spot and figure out a way to justify it.
Here's the thing. He lived in New York City. This was happening in Chicago. And what they know is that this, with the cyanide, would dissolve those capsules within 48 hours.
So you would have to plant them.
He would have had to like literally buy them, walk outside, put it in, and walk back in and put them on the shelf. And those people would have had to take them within 48 hours. And so like this was something where like he had to be local doing this. And he had a pretty solid alibi to be in New York. And so even though he was claiming he did it, like it was like...
He's like, yeah, I stayed at a motel over here. Here's how I was in town. I have a rental car agreement right here. I did all of it. And they're like, but you live in New York.
Well, here's the thing. Though, the FBI was sketched about him. So they continued their investigation a little further. Okay. And here's what they found. This guy did not do it. Here's how we know.
Okay.
The guy, they did used to live in Chicago, but it was years ago. Him and his wife moved to New York. She got a job for that very same stationery company.
Okay.
She's working for that stationery company. And then a year before this event, the stationery company falls into some financial trouble and the checks that they paid all their employees with bounced. And so they didn't get paid. They took them to court. The employees took them to court over this to try to get their money. They couldn't get their money. At the end of the court hearing,
This guy just sees an opportunity where he's like, I'm going to try to make us some money on this tragedy.
This employee, the employees lost that case. And so the case ended. On the way out, James, furious with the owner of the company, has a few choice words with him and decides, I am going to wait for a tragedy and I'm going to write a
ransom letter.
And he's not trying to make money off the ransom. The account number is their account number because he knows it from the check. And so he's trying to frame them for the murders is what he's doing.
He's trying to frame.
Yeah. So that account number was the company's account number, the stationery company. So he's trying to frame the stationery company for doing the cyanide.
Okay. Turns out it's a paper company in New York.
It was Dunder Mifflin.
It was Vistaprint.
This just did Vistaprint poison.
Vistaprint poisoned seven people. Use code poison for 20% off at checkout.
Marketing,
but the I is a one.
So they're like, yeah, it's not him, but you're going to jail for 20 years for extortion. And so he did go to jail for 20 years.
Okay.
He ended up serving 15 and then got let out on probation.
Promotion. Yeah.
I'm sticking with that. Promotion. And so again, they're back to square one.
Okay.
they got a call a couple weeks after, same time frame, from a local bar owner in Melrose Park, another area in Chicago. And the bar owner said, hey, there was this guy in my bar. His name is Roger Arnold. He's a regular.
What's his middle name? I don't know his middle name.
He can't do it then. It could have been
him. Click. Call us back when you have the right information.
So he's like,
or the
like,
FBI. Not FI.
There's three there. It has to be all three. So this bar owner's like, last night, there's Roger was in here and he was talking about how he's got a lot of cyanide at home and how he's like, yeah, I did.
He's like, sometimes I pop him into Tylenol. Like, and
sometimes I like to put cyanide in Tylenol and leave him at the CVS. And he's like, it seemed pretty suspicious to me.
The FBI was like, where does he leave it?
CVS.
CVS?
It's three.
Put boots on the ground.
We need to get out there right now. Could it have been him? This happened at a Walgreens. Thanks for your call.
Hanging up on leads over and over.
Yeah, we don't really care.
Hey, I was calling in to confess.
Confess for what?
The crimes I committed.
We're not looking for those.
We want to figure it out on our own.
That takes all the fun out of it.
No, stop it. Don't spoil the episode. We'll find you. Don't spoil it.
Oh, jeez. So they picked this guy up. They searched his house. They did find in his house a bunch of illegal firearms and drugs and stuff like that. No cyanide. And they interviewed him and they asked him a bunch of questions. And they basically determined he was just a drunk dude kind of bragging about having cyanide for some reason.
Sure. I got some cyanide.
This is, I think it's important. So I've meant to do this. This is James Lewis. This is the guy who wrote the ransom note.
Okay.
So what do you think? Did it or didn't do it?
He looks like he would have. Yeah, he looks like he would have worked for a stationery company.
He didn't. His wife did.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he looks like he would have a plan to frame his wife's company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this was Roger Arnold, the other guy.
He looks like he would have done it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks pretty...
Yeah, yeah. Who do you think did it? Leave it in the comments.
Dude, he's got those glasses that make his eyes look massive. Look, you know, when someone's got glasses on and the glasses serve as like, you're like, dude, you can tell how blind somebody is by how huge their eyes are behind their glasses.
Yeah, that's
this guy cannot see a thing without those.
Yeah, he thought he had cyanide, but it was just flour. He's like, this is cyanide.
Oh.
Huh. It turns out you're right. It was just flour. Sorry, officer. I've been putting that in Tylenol capsules all over the metro.
I wonder why people aren't dying.
There should have been more. So they took him in for questioning. We're like, yeah, it can't be him. They did pull him in on the firearms charges for having all the illegal firearms. And so he went to jail for a minute.
That kind of suck. That you just got something slightly illegal in your house and you get framed for, I don't know, the biggest thing happening in town.
You didn't get framed, though. You were bragging about doing it in a bar. Like, no, it's not your fault.
You're bragging about having cyanide. You weren't saying you gave it to people.
Yeah.
Here's how that conversation comes up.
Yeah.
All right. Here's how it happened.
Yeah.
They're talking about it. And someone's like, yeah, how do you even get cyanide? And he goes, I've got cyanide. Like, it's like, doesn't everybody have cyanide? I use cyanide all the time.
Yeah. He thinks it's bleach. Like,
what was that?
What do you have?
Yeah, I have cyanide in my house. Yeah, I have cyanide in my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I did the Tylenol. It's just funny. I'm just making a funny. Yeah, but his eyes are huge.
That's what I was doing.
So Sinclair, the bar owner, calls.
You're
the
doing
cops.
Like the like and subscribe stuff. I'm trying to get thumbnails.
Sorry. You can Photoshop your eyes so they're really freaking big. Just abnormally huge.
There you go.
There you go. All right. So he goes to jail for the guns. He owns them he is in jail for like a year.
Sure.
Gets out of jail in 83. And this is kind of a side story.
Like, you know what? I am going to do it.
Close. Gets out of jail in 83. big grudge against that bar owner. So he goes to that bar,
kills him,
gets really drunk, and then has the plan, I'm going to kill Sinclair, the bar owner, on the way when he leaves tonight. And so he's waiting outside for him to leave, and he shoots some random guy that just happened to be at the bar. So he goes to prison for 30 years and dies in prison for that. So rough. And then it just kind of...
Imagine that. You get your freedom and then you kill somebody and now you've served 1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, I would do it.
A bad year, but it's
I'd serve a year.
No. I mean, if you committed a crime, yeah, you would.
Now that I know we can listen to our podcast, for sure.
I could not do it a year. Okay. So he doesn't get caught for the Tylenol thing. And long story short, it kind of fizzles out and they're like, oh, we don't know who did this.
Yeah.
We have no way to find out who did this. And so it becomes a cold case and it sits for 25 years. And in January 2009, the Illinois FBI was like, hey, it's the 25th anniversary of those murders. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate by discovering who did it.
We're going to celebrate.
We're going to have a parade and a discovery train. So we're going to see if we can figure out who did this. And so they're like, we've got some advancements in technology. Maybe we can figure this out. The problem was at that time, like CCTV wasn't super common.
Right.
So like, we could have them on camera. Most people paid in cash. And so it's like, we can't track like purchases and stuff like that. And then obviously like even forensics, like fingerprints and stuff like that weren't as good at the time as well.
Yeah.
So it's like the science wasn't there, but now they've got better science. So they exhumed the body of Roger Arnold because now he's dead. And they took his femur bone for DNA testing. And so they could do some DNA tests on the cyanide pills. They took some DNA from James Lewis to see if maybe it was him. And then they had this other theory that this guy, you might recognize him. You know who that is?
Yes.
Correct. George Bush. no, that's Ted Kaczynski. He's the Unabomber.
That's right. Yes.
And the Unabombers, the Unabombings started in Chicago. So they thought maybe it's him. And so they took some.
He's like, okay, guys, sure.
And he was like, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. I'm a bomb guy, not a poison guy.
Yeah.
But they took some DNA and tested it. Couldn't connect it to him. Couldn't connect it to either the other guys with the DNA. Basically, we're like, hey, we tried. We dug into this further. We can't figure out who did this.
Sure.
Probably we'll never know. Which is wild. Because there were a handful of copycats around the United States after this. I think there was like 5 or 6 more people who were killed from cyanide and Tylenol.
Jeez.
Like shortly after this event. Nobody went trick-or-treating that year. I mean, people went trick-or-treating, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, there's cyanide in our candy.
Yeah.
But whoever did this is out there among us.
Oh, we've never figured it out.
No idea who did that.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have no idea why. We don't know the motive. We don't know who did it. We don't know what happened to them. We don't know if they did anything else later.
Yeah.
Like it might have been a one-time thing. Maybe they did other stuff like this. We have no idea. But it drastically changed the way we sell anything consumable.
Yeah, everything's sealed.
Yeah, everything's sealed now. So that's the Chicago Tylenol murders. Crazy story. No answers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fiddle off then.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you liked it, we've got another one you might like. The Richmond TV Vigilante. It's another unsolved mystery. A little less murdery, a little more... I found a TV on my front porch. It's a great story. Very interesting. Lots of intrigue. So check that out. And hey, if you want to hear next week's episode or watch next week's episode right now, you can over on our Patreon. And there's a lot more really fun and exciting perks that you get from being a patron. And if you are a patron, thanks for your support. We're really glad that you are helping us make this show. But if not, thanks for being here.